symphony of words with chapter 20. He writes in that chapter of the resurrection, of Jesus' appearance to Mary, to Thomas, and to some of the other disciples. And he concludes it with these words: "Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that are not recorded in this scroll, but these things are written so that you will believe." The book is finished. The story is over. The narrative is complete. The postscript is written. The writer lays down his pen. He rolls up the parchment and ties it with a leather string. But then suddenly he unties the string. He rolls out the parchment and again takes up his pen, and another chapter is added. And this is the encore to Easter, chapter 21, a portion of which we hear now. Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. And this is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, named the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. And Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going to go with you." They went out, they got in the boat, and they caught nothing. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they did not recognize him. He spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" And they answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net off the right side and see what happens." And they did what he said, and all of a sudden there were so many fish in the net they weren't strong enough to pull it in. And then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Master." And when Simon Peter realized it was the Master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped while fishing, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't very far from land, about 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. And when they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." And so Simon Peter joined them, and they pulled the net ashore, 153 large fish. And even with all those fish, the net did not rip. Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." Not one of the disciples dared ask, "Who you are? Who are you?" They knew it was the Master. So Jesus took the bread, he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. The encore. What does one preach the Sunday after Easter? After the resurrection, what is there to say? What does one preach when it has all been said? This Sunday has two distinctions. Stephen has already indicated and brought to our attention that this is Holy Humor Sunday. Google that. He's telling the truth. It is Holy Humor Sunday. It is a Sunday for humor and for comedy and for laughter. My sister's church, a Presbyterian church in Phoenix, does what the Orthodox do. The members are encouraged to bring their favorite jokes to share with the rest of the folks. The jokes are supposed to be religious or theological or ecclesiastical in nature, but I want to tell you, most of them deal with ministers. So it is that a priest, a rabbi, and a minister walked into a bar. And the bartender says, "What is this, some kind of joke?" Okay, we won't use that one at the next service, will we? Let me get into Holy Humor Sunday with my Easter joke. A minister who was new to the neighborhood wanted to know what the people knew, the people of the parish wanted to know what they knew about their faith. It was springtime, just about like now, and he decided the best way to get information was to ask the people what they knew about Easter. So he goes to the first house, and the family was delighted to share with him what a wonderful time of year Easter is. They said, you know, we go out to the forest, and we cut the tree down, and we bring it into the house, and we decorate it, and we purchase gifts, and we put them under the tree, and we pass them out on Easter Sunday. Rather dismayed by this answer, the minister had hoped for a better response when he goes to the next house. And here the family said, Easter is simply a wonderful time of the year. Early in the morning, we get the flag and we put it out. And then we go into the town for the parade. And usually we have a picnic towards evening. And then as it gets dark in the park, we watch all the fireworks. Wondering what he's gotten into coming to this parish, he goes to a third house. And there the people said, Easter is a beautiful time of the year. They told him that after Jesus was crucified on Friday, Easter is the great day of resurrection. It is the day that Jesus comes out of the tomb. And just as the minister is breathing this great sigh of relief, they add, and if he sees his shadow, we know we have six more weeks of winter. Okay, that's it for Holy Humor Sunday. What Stephen did not mention is that this is also described as Low Sunday. Low Sunday. And if you don't believe that, Google it. Historically, it was called Low Sunday in contrast to High Easter Sunday. But more often today, it is jokingly called Low Sunday because of the low attendance on the Sunday after Easter. Holy Humor Sunday, Low Sunday, the Sunday after Easter. What does one preach as an Easter encore? Perhaps there is no better post-Easter text than that of John's encore as we heard it in the 21st chapter of his narrative. The disciples, or at least some of them, have left Jerusalem. They've gathered on the beach at the Sea of Galilee. Why they are there, we are not told. They seem to be waiting for something or for someone, but nothing is happening. And finally, Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. It's the remark of a man who finds waiting is beyond difficult. And with a sigh of relief, or perhaps a sigh of resignation, the other disciples go with him. But unlike the encore of the great violinist, Peter and the others, they go back to what is familiar also. They return to what they know best. And so they pick up their nets and they head out to the sea. But unlike that violinist's great triumph, this encore is a fiasco. They fish all night. They catch nothing. Again and again and again, they throw their nets out over the water, and again and again and again, the nets come back empty as all of their hopes and dreams are at this time. But then, as the sun breaks over the Sea of Galilee, a stranger appears on the beach, and he calls out, have you caught anything? What fisher person has not heard that question and has dreaded having to give the answer that the disciples had to give? No. Haven't caught a thing. Not a thing. Nothing. We've been skunked. And the stranger says, well, cast your net to the right side of the boat. Or as the New English Bible puts it so colorfully, shoot the net starboard. And why not? Nothing else has worked. So once more, out goes their net, only this time they can't even bring in the net. It has so many fish in it. And in that miraculous catch comes the epiphany. It is the Lord, says one of the disciples. And while Peter, as impetuous as ever, jumps overboard to swim to shore, the others bring in the boat and the net full of fish. Jesus is waiting for them. There's a fire. They put some fish on it, and they break bread together, as we will be doing shortly here, because the Christ is with them. The Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. John gives us an exact number. There were 153 fish in the net. Why such an explicit number? 153. Why not, there were about 150 or 160? Or simply that the net was full of fish? John is a gospel of the Spirit. Why such precision at this moment? 153, 153. Over the centuries, the answers to that question have been ingenious, but I think perhaps the most inventive came from Augustine very early. He pointed out that 10 is the number of the law, and 7 is the number for grace, the law because of the 10 commandments, the 7 for grace because of the gifts of the Spirit. 10 plus 7 equals 17. Adding consecutively 1 to 17, 1 plus 2, then plus 3, then plus 4, you count up to 17 doing that and you get 153. The 153 fish, according to Augustine, stands for everyone who by law or by grace comes to Jesus Christ. Now, there are others a little less flamboyantly who point out that 153 was the known number of species of fish in that ancient day. And so the net of the gospel, the net of the church, is large enough to include everyone. As Paul would later write, Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, we are all one in Christ. We are all in the one net. After their breakfast on the beach, after they've barbecued the fish, and after breaking the bread together, Jesus and Peter take a stroll down the beach. And Jesus turns to Peter and asks, Peter, do you love me? Peter's pained by this question. And he replies, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And then Jesus asks it again. And then he asks it a third time. And each time, Peter answers with all the sincerity he can muster, yes, Lord, you know. You know that I love you. And each time, Jesus gives a very simple command. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. The scholars point out that this threefold profession of love parallels Peter's earlier three denials of Jesus, of knowing Jesus. And it is a good symmetry. But it doesn't end there. Things are not just the same anymore. So Jesus concludes with the simple encore words, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. These are the very same words as the invitation to these three fishermen, or to these fishermen, 3 years previous, when their great adventure with him had begun. Follow me, he said, and I will make you fish for people. Now, once again, the encore message is, follow me. And that is perhaps the message we can best hear on this holy humor, low Sunday, Sunday after Easter. Much as Peter needed it on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, we have descended from the high slopes of Easter to the sea level routine of living out our faith. There's an old story that tells of a man who visited a Quaker meeting. He was puzzled because nobody said anything. They just sat there. Nobody did anything. They were simply silent. And after waiting patiently for a long time, he leaned over to the Quaker gentleman who was sitting next to him, and he whispered, "When does the service start?" And the Quaker replied, "When we leave." Encore. Encore. Amen.